When the melody's been written and the words have all been picked and you hear the Spirit calling through some old sacred hymn in the valley of decision. Tell me, friend, what will you do? This life has many choices, eternity has too. This world and all its pleasures will soon be passed away. The final invitation could be going out today. You're standing at the crossroads and the Savior's calling you. This life has many choices, eternity has too.
The straight and narrow way leads to life, and the broad way down below.
What would it profit to gain the world and lose your very soul? Tomorrow is uncertain. Days on earth are few. This life has many choices, eternity has too. This life has many choices, eternity has too.
Hallelujah. I love the choice that Jesus gave me. And he said, come on, you're mine now. For those of you who are into politics, how do you like politics? I sometimes do. Mr. Joe Biden on Fox News was asking for his mom. Where's mom? Where's mom? On a news reporting, where's mom? Oh, she must have gone home. I guess she went home. He was looking for his mom. And the other one, I don't want to repeat the head, so you have to go on the internet to find out the undistinguishable sentence that he had. It has to do with bum. So go for it, look it up yourself. Anyway, that's what we have as a president that's supposed to be the savior of the world. No, he's a destroyer, and God will have to remove him, or else we're all going to be destroyed eventually. This is why I believe in God. God is not finished yet. If you see that guy as the most powerful person on the earth, you know there's not much power there. He is going to be put into place one of these days, and I believe God is now just playing with him and showing us how foolish men are, humans are. They are foolish. Instead of relying on God, they put God aside, and guess what? Then the enemy comes in and gives you children to rule, and mind you, he's worse than a child. I was talking to an older Mennonite yesterday. We were talking about how the Mennonite church is faring. And I don't know how the Mennonite churches operate. They have different denominations or something, or sects amongst them. They have different, like the Hutterites, they have different types and different denominations. And he said there's a few denominations in the Mennonite church that are endorsing homosexuality. And I said, how can they do that? Don't they have the Bible? He said, well, they asked the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said, yes, they should embrace homosexuality. And I said, well, if that's the same Holy Spirit that wrote the Bible, I don't think so. They must be listening to a different Holy Spirit, because there's no way that that Holy Spirit would endorse homosexuality, because it is an abomination. I've heard preachers say, we have more revelation than the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul never had any revelation on homosexuality. He just quoted what Leviticus was teaching. That's all he did. He didn't need a new revelation. That's all you need, is what the Bible says. Same-sex marriage is an abomination. Any marriage, and I told that guy, any sexual immorality, any sexual partaker of sexuality outside of marriage between a man and a woman is fornication, and it is sin. And I haven't seen any formula in the Bible where two men can get married or two women. So they are definitely not listening to the real Holy Spirit. And if they're convinced they're listening to the Holy Spirit, then guess what that so-called Holy Spirit will have for them next? It's only a downward spiral into the abyss. And by the time they will have that one figured out, there's going to be flames over their heads. That's all I can say. So people need to be careful who they listen to. I don't care if the Mennonite religion or this and that denomination has stood for thousands of years. You got to go by God's word, because the Bible teaches in the last days they will heap themselves to themselves teachers having itching ears. And not only that, they will be listening to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So we need to understand the word of God is our standard, and we stick with it. We do not deviate. And whether if the Bible says this is true and our theology is not up to that truth, then we're wrong, not the Bible. And that's it. Our itching ears have to be shut down, and we need to learn how to listen to the truth. And sometimes that's harder than you think, because most of us have been brought up in religion, and many of us have a hard time stripping off that religious thing called an evil spirit. We have a problem with it. We like to entertain it, because a religious spirit weaves itself around your own imagination, your own brain, your own thinking. It does the thinking for you. Remember that. That religious spirit does the thinking for you. How do I know that? Because it's very obvious. If that person would have been taught different, he would think differently. I was once discussing a very interesting situation with a person that was cutting his wrists. You know what a wrist cutter is? They do that to try to kill themselves. And I asked, why do you do this? Well, I tell myself I need to cut my wrist. I said, no, that's not you telling yourself. That's a demon that you're carrying around, and we need to get rid of it. And I did get rid of that demon, and that person is not cutting anymore. So I know for a fact most of the religious ideas come from demonic backgrounds. Most of, if not all of, the evils that we see are being pushed by Satan. And we, the children of God, have been given the authority to discern, to determine where it comes from, and to rebuke it and get rid of it. So today I'll teach on this subject. You need to open your ears to what the Word of God says. We have been given authority to protect those who are weak, those who can't stand up for themselves. We need to pray for them, stand in the gap for them, and command those devils. When you see what the government is doing, you know what that spells? A church that has decided whatever God wants, that's what will happen. I've heard one preacher say, whenever you die, that's the will of God. If you commit suicide, you would have died anyway. Well, if that's the case, in the last 40 or 30 years, we would have had the biggest epidemic of stillborns there ever was. Look at all the babies that have been aborted. Look at them. If they wouldn't have been aborted, according to that person, they would have died anyway. So there's got to be a catch there somehow. We got to understand we have responsibility. So before we get into this message today, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace. I ask that you will bless us, open our ears to the truth. For we know, Lord God, the confusion that's going all around us. And we can see those who are afraid. So Lord God, help us to give them hope in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. The Lord bless you and open your ears today. Children will listen and watch their parents. They will see how you operate. If you preach and talk about this God you say you have a belief in, you may be even challenged by your kids. So be careful how you operate. In many cases, children are the proof of who you are. So God wants us to see that we have been given the authority to determine how these things work out. In Isaiah chapter 28, it tells us, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and have been drawn from the breast. That's in Isaiah chapter 28 in verse 9. So the question is, are you weaned from the milk? Do you know that you know that you belong to God? Do you understand your salvation? Are you once saved and always saved? If you can determine that in your heart and you know that for sure, then you are qualified to step ahead and start pressing towards the mark, the prize, the high calling of God, where you will receive many crowns. I have talked to Christians who feel that God wants them to go back to the Jewish rituals. So once a week they'll have this Seder meal and just thanking God or thinking that they're doing God a favor by stepping back into the Old Testament, thinking that this is what God called them. So instead of going towards where God calls them, they step back. And then confusion sets in after a while, because what will happen is this: you will dry up. So are you drawn from the breast? Are you weaned from the milk? Give you a few in Hebrews chapter 5 in verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. Now listen to this. You have your senses exercised to discern good and evil. Okay, it's by operating, it's by using what God has given you, if your senses aren't being exercised, then they will go dull. If your nose never smells, after a while, it's not going to smell. If your taste buds are deprived of food, after a while, you lose your taste. Everything you have has to be exercised. So does your spiritual discerning. Do you hear from God? Do you speak to God? Is God giving you a understanding of what is to come and what is to be? If God hasn't shown you that you're saved, then you need to start on that. And after you know that you're saved, you need to start operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not stepping back, but stepping into the future, into what he wants us to do. He has given us the commission to make sure the governments are staying in line. He's given us the commission to make sure the weather doesn't go out of whack. He's given us the commission to make sure that insects don't rob our crops off. He's given us the commission to make sure that we live in a place where he wants us to live. For he wants us to prosper. That's in the Bible. The Lord is willing for us to prosper. Now, if you're one of those listening over the internet who think that the Bible is just for salvation, the rest is nice stories to read, then you need to pay close attention, because I'll give you a few examples of my experiences. One, how many of you see grasshoppers around? Are there lots of grasshoppers? There's none in our garden. If they're eating your garden, guess who's at fault? You. Because if you're a Christian, you need to take authority. Will it work every time you pray? I'm definitely working towards that. We had some interesting weather this spring, or a couple of weeks ago. It was coming towards us, and I said, Lord, it's not coming this way. You'll camp your angels around our place. Well, too bad the guy down the road didn't pray, because it took down a mile and a half of hydro posts. And that happened a couple of years ago, the same thing. Those guys a mile down the road need to learn how to pray. So we will not be out of hydro. Come on, guys. We were picking. Listen to this one. Grasshoppers. I told you the story years ago. Me and Steve prayed. Those grasshoppers didn't go into our garden. They stayed out. This year we were picking Saskatoons at a place that had been plagued with grasshoppers. Big Saskatoon farm. And that young kid of theirs, he was sticking our Saskatoons to our car. And we were starting to talk about grasshoppers, because they had an infestation of grasshoppers. And my wife told him the story where we prayed and the grasshoppers stayed out of our garden. And you know what the kid said? We had some people praying here too. And guess what? It helped. And I looked at him, I figured, whoa, I have to talk to his parents. I got to make sure I get to know them. And so we can do these things. Will it work all the time? Let's work towards it. The Bible teaches us something. The Word of God is not just good stories to read. It's the instructions. It's for instructions. That's what the Bible teaches. Listen to this. Matthew chapter 8 in verse 26. Jesus was sleeping in a boat, and the disciples were rowing, and there was a big mighty wind. And they woke him and said, hey, listen, we're perishing. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. What was Jesus trying to show them? I'm here and I'll protect you. No, he was telling them, you of little faith, you can take care of it. And when the Holy Spirit came upon them, They understood what Jesus meant. And the exploits and the things the disciples did are almost beyond our imagination. The very shadow of Peter would heal people. God is telling us, if you have the Holy Spirit, then this is for you. You need to step into the traces and start taking responsibility. If you don't, then it's you alone that is to blame for the things that are happening to you. Will we always be successful if we work towards it? We'll be more and more. Yes, I'm not saying that we'll be without trouble, but we can sure eliminate a lot of things. I know a guy by the name of Dave Duell. He's gone to be with the Lord already. He taught me about these things. He said, the Lord started me out by praying for my cows. I would see a sick cow and I would put my hand on them and pray for their wellness. And some of them would go down in the spirit and lay there for 20 minutes and then they'd get up and be healed. Was he lying to me? I figured, maybe not. I think I'll try that myself. And guess what? Pray for your pets. God loves those pets also. Don't wait for things to happen. Seek God so that he can warn you of the things that will come. That's why we have prayer meeting every week on a weekly basis, asking God, what is your will for us? What are you doing? How can we stand in the gap? And when he showed us, we do. So God is saying to us, come on, I need people who will stand in the gap here. He says, who will be the one that will stand in the gap? And this one prophet said, send me, I will. And he did a lot of exploits. James chapter 5 and verse 17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, what is he trying to tell us here? Elijah and the prophet are just like we are. We got the same flesh and blood. We have to go to the toilet like they did. We have to eat like he had to eat. Same thing created, God kind, created in the image of God. Was he powerful? Yes, he was, because he trusted in God. But he also had a weakness. He was a coward. He ran from problems, just like we do a lot of times. But that doesn't mean that God's going to condemn us because we run sometimes. Let's just make sure that we return, we get up and start fighting once we come to our senses. So if he prayed for rain, if he prayed for it to stop raining, and God says he's just like we are, how can we neglect teaching of the Bible like that? I remember one lady from Rwanda. She was in the Rwandan genocide. She didn't wait for them people to come and kill her. She said, you do not kill me in the name of Jesus. And guess what? People were killed to the left. They were killed to the right. They could not touch her. Why? Because she had the power of the Holy Spirit surrounding her. The only problem is people don't seem to recognize that. Now listen to what Hebrews chapters 11 says. And what shall I say, I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. Oh, they were in the Old Testament. These guys were in the Old Testament. Well, now we have the Holy Spirit. It should be much easier. They tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, and of Japheth, and of David also, and of Samuel, and of the prophet, who through faith, listen to this, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of the lions, quenched the violence of fire, Listen, quenched the violence of fire. They walked into that fire, nothing happened to them. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Vexed, valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. They were able to turn back. Like I remember reading where God said to Hezekiah, I believe it was, you just go out there and sing your songs. I don't remember the king that did that. They came there and all the enemy were dead. God worked for them. And then it says, women received their dead raised to life again. Now let me quote you and explain the rest of the scripture. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Why did they not accept? Why did they accept the torture and killing? Because they saw God, they understand going to heaven is far better. That's why they did not want deliverance. You may ask, why? How can you prove that? Well, go to Stephen, the first martyr. Heaven's opened. Jesus, who sits at the right hand of God, stood up. And that was told me by Brother Moses from Uganda. It was an eye-opener. Jesus was ready to stand for him. But he saw heaven and he decided, adios, Lord, take me home and forgive them for doing it. And he boogied on off to heaven, like one lady said to me when her husband died. And guess what? The Apostle Paul, they wanted to kill him. They did kill him. And he came back and said, sorry, I'm not finished yet. How do you pray for those who are against you, who try to stop you, like the Apostle Paul prayed? You son of Satan, you're going to be blind for a season. I'm going about to do my work here. That's how they operated. But we as Christians today, we've been fed this total deception that this went out for the with the apostles. We need to rethink our teachings and start seeing what the Bible says. If we will do that, we will be able to push back the agenda of the evil governments that are trying to bring this chaos. We will be able to determine who will get into office so that we can have a peaceful life. Pray, get on your face before God so that they will do what we want. That's what God tells us. Pray. Pray that we will have peaceful lives. What does he mean by that? You need to intercede. You need to get involved. You need to do things. Yes, by faith it'll happen. But I tell you, I heard a preacher say, God is not a socialist. He'll make it available, but you go and get it yourself. We have to stand in the gap for with God. Now listen to Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 1. Wherefore seeing also, we are also compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses. See, they're watching what we're doing. Let us lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Can you imagine King David sitting up there as we cower behind those masks? I bet you he'd like to be here. I wonder what gun he would use. You know, when you look at those patriarchs from the past, they must think, guys, you have the power to stop the mouths of the lion. You have the power to ask for rain. You have the power to do these things. Why don't you tap into that power? I tapped into the power that was available for me, and I used it. What's wrong with you? Sometimes when I think of myself, I say, Lord, I'm ashamed. I need to get going. I need to do things. I need to start using and practicing what you have written in the Word for me. Because with practice, your senses get exercised. When you start praying, things will happen. Why? Because your faith will meet the grace that is there for it. Hallelujah. But Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, listen to this, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus was our example. His purpose was, first of all, to come pay for our sins at the cross. And it had to be done. He said, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, thy will be done. He was tempted like we are tempted. But he didn't only do that. He showed us how to deal with the enemy. What did he do? Casting out devils, healing the sick, making sure that the Pharisees hear the truth. On and on, you read how he operated. And God wants us to follow his example. Not another preacher's example. They'll fail us. But to follow his example. We will have a problem doing it, but we at least can start doing it. And God will see the determination in our hearts and will give us the grace to accomplish that we start out. But if you're here and there and everywhere, how can God use you? We need to be single-minded. A double-vision person doesn't know where he stands. If you know where you are with this God, he will start speaking to you. He will start discussing things with you. And through these experiences, your faith will grow. How do I know I'm going to heaven? Very simple. The Holy Spirit told me. How can he tell you? I want to tell you this. If he has told you, you will know exactly what I mean. And I'm sure there's people here who understand exactly what I'm saying. Once you hear from him, nobody can speak anything otherwise because it has been branded into you. You are his and his to have for the rest of eternity. So we need to open our eyes to this. We're heading for some interesting times. I'm just trying to warn you. You can do something about the chaos that is going on. We had a problem at the farmer's market. It was called, everybody has to wear a mask. And I said, Lord, I'm going to confront those people. But I need proof. So I got the proof. Got the papers. I was ready to go out and do my duty as somebody that's at the farmer's market, fight for righteousness. But I said, Lord, I hate to squabble around with these things. I'm a peace-loving man. Why don't you do it? We came to the farmer's market. The problem was settled. We didn't have to wear masks. Nobody came to ask us. Instead, they came to suck up to us. What a difference. That's the truth. It is because I spoke to God and he changed their hearts. We can do that with the weather, with disease, with people. Religion is a different story. That needs the power of the Holy Ghost, and he will break that also. So let him begin breaking that religious spirit in you so that you can function for God as God wants you to. Hallelujah. Let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen.
Every eye shall see, every ear shall hear the sound of angels when he comes, when he comes. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. When he comes, when he comes. And he'll plant his beautiful feet upon this mountain, and the dead of all the ages who believed on him will rise. I'll be one in the first. that it's him, really him, the one and only. When he comes, when he comes, glorified and transformed, I'll arise at his call. I'll be ready when he comes, when he comes, and he'll play.